Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am profoundly, deeply, and cautiously grateful that you chose to be with me on this 16th day of August. That's when this program is going to be aired. I want to tell you about my caution here, because we're going to go into a subject that is very, very controversial. And it has to do with peace on earth. This is something I have mentioned. Listeners have been acute to this. They have been listening to this quote that I speak of, where Jesus said, in this world there will be always wars and rumors of wars. And then his quote, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. A very profound and beautiful statement made that you have to understand transcends the generations and years of our lives. It touches every aspect of the infinite that lives within us. And had he not said these words, had he not made this statement, I think we would probably not be prone to anything that would lend peace to the earth and to what is going on in our world. We would have probably ignored a lot of his teachings, too, more than most people imagine his teachings are ignored. And there's some of us who this statement, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you, really captures our attention. So we're going to talk about peace on earth and looking at all of the riots that have been occurring for the sake of social change and all of that, and hopefully give you something to think about, another perspective. I don't really think I'll ever change of a people's perspective on life. It's usually based on genetic bias, and that bias always wins. It's not something that, you know, a person is willing to surrender. So we're going to be looking at that whole idea in this this radio program. And let's begin with the first question. It is from Terrence. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, Greg, what did Jesus mean by my peace I give to you? What kind of peace are we talking about, and why has there been none? Terrence, I'm going to talk about the second half of your question a little later. What did Jesus mean by my peace I give to you? I don't think there has been anyone more misunderstood than any person, starting with Buddha, Lao Tzu, and Jesus, who is not misunderstood, deeply misunderstood. And the reason being because they live, move, and have their being in another dimension while living here on earth with us. They do not speak from the earthly realm. They speak from a more advanced realm, a higher realm, the realm of love. This is the realm where the body takes maybe second or even more than second, maybe third or fourth place in a person's life. I say this to you because I want to be accurate, and I'm taking it very slow so it can be understood. You and I live according to our bodies. We live according to the chemicals of our bodies, our brain, our organs, and we misinterpret anything that comes from another shore, as it is often called. We live according to our thoughts, and we believe in our thoughts. We think our thoughts are reality, and the thoughts that we have, we think are very important. They They emulate logic and reasoning, mental acuity, IQ, things like that. We really think that all these things are very, very important. They're not. They are not. They cause a great deal of mischief and a lot of pain and suffering. The peace that Jesus talks about, my peace as he calls it, is not a peace that comes from negotiation. It does not come from logic and reasoning. This peace that he is talking about comes from the realm of what he called in his lifetime the kingdom of heaven. Buddha called it nirvana. Lao Tzu called it the Tao. This place that we are talking about here is magnificent. It lives within us, and it has nothing to do with what benefits one person and doesn't benefit another. It's not about the win-win situation, all of that craziness that we earthly beings have. This thing that we are talking about, this state of being that lives within, is called love. So Jesus is talking about the peace that comes from love. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. He does not give earthly negotiation. He does not give earthly logic and reasoning. He does not give the things that most people consider to be, theoretically logical or reasonable, and a place where people can be, quote-unquote, benefited by friendship or something like that. He doesn't do that. He talks about and from, and you got to get this, Terrence, the absolute. This absolute lives within him, lives within you, lives within me. It is the absolute of goodness and mercy. If we lose our goodness, if our salt has lost its savor, we have lost the meaning of our life, and we will never know this peace. This is why peace is hard to come by in this world, because we are cynical people. We live in a cynicism that is absolutely ugly. This cynicism makes us think that some things are true and other things are false, and we live divided. We live in a mind that's dualistic. We live in a life that is dualistic. So what we're trying to do in this world is pull all the earthly elements together, both in the outer and the inner, and make some sort of sense in it. Now, Terrence, it must be understood here, and I hope I can get this over to you. We are natural-born killers. It is in our nature. It is in our DNA. It is in our genetic nature to be killers, to go out into the world to find what is right, what is wrong, whatever, and to kill to survive. And we do this not only in the physical by killing animals and eating them, but also by trying to, shall we say, in a social setting, win arguments. The ego is always the guiding, directing force within our life that is telling us what to think, what to say, what to do. We live via the ego, and this ego takes on a life of its own. It starts out with the gathering of genetic dispositions. It gathers them together and creates a synapse in our brain that fires off in a certain way. And it also, at the same time, creates logic and reasoning to sustain its presence within our mind as the dominant factor, the dominant persona that everything floats through in the course of our lifetime. We interpret our life from the senses, from the body, from the chemicals in the brain. we assume a great deal. And because we do all of this with no end in sight, because we do all of this, we make it very difficult for us to be influenced by love. We are not influenced by love. We are influenced by the symmetry of the conditional mind that is always looking for right over wrong, good over bad, benefit over non-benefit. It is always looking for its own survival. And because this survival is more important than peace on earth or the state of peace on earth, we do suffer greatly. We do. So it's this egotistical sense of presence, which we call even the human heart, that forces us to live the way we do, to think the way we do, to act the way we do, and to make decisions the way we make decisions that are based not in love, which would be what Jesus was referring to as my peace, but we make decisions based on the idea of negotiation, of having power, one who wins over another. We look at the teachings of love that Jesus offered, and we're condescending towards them. It isn't the smart that inherit the earth. It is the meek that inherits the earth. And the wise person is the meek person. He or she is not a person of IQ. He or she is not a person of good or bad, right or wrong. They are, as Jesus said, my peace, which they are people that are influenced by authentic love. This is very hard for the average person to understand. In fact, I have found in my 50 years of being a teacher that most people can't understand it. They will refuse to understand it. So that's why there is wars and rumors of wars and all sorts of ugly things. I hope that helps you. Terrence, I'll answer the rest of your question in the answers I'm going to give to the other two people. I hope you can hang in there with me. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Wayne, and he lives in Arizona. When will there be peace on earth? Do you think it's possible? Wayne, when I read your little email to me, and I want to thank you for it, I giggled. I thought, well, does he want me to give him a date? You know, something like, when's this going to happen? Most people depend upon political leaders who do not have your and my benefit in mind when they are negotiating with peace with other countries. To leave it to politics, which the American public has, which all republics and countries do, is really a big mistake. When I was a young man, a young person, I would, every time we had a rally or we were doing something back at Unity, we would end the day singing, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." And I really felt that that was the answer. And naively and with great meekness, which is a polite way of saying how stupid I was, I truly felt, and stupid meaning idealistic, I really thought that everybody wanted peace and that we would all work on ourselves. I took that very seriously. Well, come to find out after being ordained and everything and going back to school and the whole deal, I found out people were not interested in that at all, Wayne. Not at all. I mean, how far can you go with a person telling them that most everything they do is wrong, it's anti-peace? How do you tell people, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. How do you tell people that? People have an odd sense of what they think of as reality. To most people, reality is only what touches their skin, what they can think, what they can believe in, what their genetics produce. So when you and I are talking about the meaning of life and the meaning of what it is to have peace within ourselves, that my peace I give to you, not as the world give I unto you. We're talking about an inner source. And I'll tell you, Wayne, what I learned. Nobody wants peace. They want life on their terms, their beliefs, their ideals. And so when I would get up as a young person and think of, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, I had to start thinking in terms of, well, what's at war within me? And you need to consider what's at war within you. Do you not see? You cannot justify, rationalize, or moralize people. They're going to believe what they're going to believe. And this all comes from their genetic disposition and their DNA to be natural born killers. And they're going to act and live from the premise of money, power, and pride. And that's as far as they'll ever go. And I'll never forget standing up before congregations and crowds and looking out there and talking about the elements of peace, which is self-afflicting to most people, sounds very, very terrible to most people, and walking away realizing they're not going to get it. It's all nice to hear and sing about in songs, but it's something else to make peace within yourself. And we have to make peace within ourselves if we're going to be the peace we want to see in the world, as Gandhi said. But we're not going to do that because pride and arrogance get in the way. Even as you listen to this radio program, there is a prejudice in you. And this prejudice is going to win out eventually. You're not going to be able to remember anything I say. You're not going to be interested in anything beyond the ideals of what you can think, which is being contrary to the inner work. You're not going to do it because your pride, your vanity, your ego, your genetics, your DNA, the natural born killer in you, is going to outweigh everything I have to say. You can't even probably remember the Beatitudes. And they are simple to remember, but people can't remember them because they don't exist in the realm of what most people consider to be peace on earth, which is getting things their way. They miss. They miss the whole life, the whole meaning, the whole substance of their own living. So when will there be peace on earth? When there is no human bias, Wayne. When bias does not play a role as the preference of a person's living. When we give up the idea that this is mine and that is yours and blah, blah, blah. And we come up with these, quote, golden rules of politics that we all think in our minds, we're not going to find equality. There is no such thing as equality. We were not born equal. We aren't. Each of us has a karma that we must factor into our living. Each of us has a different heritage that we come from, a whole different makeup. From one country to another, from one world to another even, it's all different. And most of us are not very tolerant or kind. We are not merciful. You would have to find mercy within yourself to find what you are looking for in the state of peace on earth. And we are not basically merciful people. We are people who like a good fight and are always on guard, waiting for the next shoe to drop and terrible things to happen. Why will there never be peace on earth, you ask? Because bias wins. That's why. Human bias wins. We live by the organs of our body, and not the authentic spirit of our soul. And we have no interest in the soul, and we don't even know what it is. You know what your right foot is, but you don't know what your soul is. And the truth of the matter is that most people don't care to know what their soul is. They just don't care. And if you ask them, what's your soul? They'll come up with all sorts of gimmicks and things they've heard before from other people, but they don't have any direct experience. Until we have direct experience, Wayne, from our authentic heart, it ain't going to happen. Okay? And that's part of the joy of living on this planet, is to find that authentic heart. I hope that helps you, Wayne. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Jonathan. He does not tell me where he lives. We have to defend ourselves all the time. What is this peace stuff that you talk about? We can't rest until we've won, Jonathan. We can't rest till we've won. Who's won? Who wins? No one wins. Have you ever talked to anybody who's ever been in a war where they actually had hand-to-hand combat or something like that? No one wins. You don't know what you're fighting for. You don't know who you're... Politicians, that's what you're fighting for. Politicians with their opinions. And they love to, you know, scramble up people's emotionality and get it all hyped up so they can, you know, get people to do things that are absolutely human and brutal. We are suckers for brutality. We like the whole idea of violence. We even are entertained by it, and we will pay to be entertained by human violence. We have to defend ourselves all the time. That's human bias. That's insecurity. That's a soulless life. And Jonathan, I couldn't live that life. I know more people than myself could. The majority of people on this earth absolutely could and do. They're absolutely defiant when it comes to love, authentic love. They want to be loved. They don't want the love. They want to be affectionized. They want people to love them. They miss their entire life, and they do it because they live in the constraints of a unhappy life, a life where we live in the prelude to war by living in the preferences of this is mine and you can't have it and don't try to take it and blah, blah, blah. There's all sorts of fundamental problems with the way we think. I can't cure that. No one can. No politician can. Buddha couldn't. Jesus couldn't. Lao Tzu couldn't. They lived on this earth as an example of something more, shall we say, integral and has higher integrity than what you and I would choose to live from through pride and arrogance and biology. But still, that didn't change anything, not a single thing. We still live by wars and rumors of wars, and there are many people who are just looking for a fight. These people carrying guns now and wearing body armor and just asking for a problem, just asking for it. And this is all incited in us through government, through pride, through vanity. We are the problem. We are the virus. And there will be no justice, no such thing as justice. The only justice there is life itself. And until we understand that life, we're going to suffer grievously. I hope that helps you, Jonathan. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have comments, questions you would like me to consider, I would be happy to do so. Just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience, your loving kindness. I deeply, deeply am moved by every email I get from all of you. Have a wonderful weekend. And once again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.